Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we continue looking at the qualifications for pastors in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Thank you for joining us on the Beacon Broadcast today. And you recall that the first qualification is that the bishop must be blameless. Verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless. We saw in the broadcast yesterday that that is a rather broad and general term. It means one who cannot be laid hold of. In other words, one who doesn't have anything that somebody could use to dishonor them, to disqualify them, to bring shame to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ because they have a man in the pastoral office who is guilty of this, who has this in their background, who has this glaring inconsistency, this glaring sin, this glaring scandal in their life. But it is a rather broad term, and though I think it can be viewed as a separate qualification, and I mentioned that there are 16 qualifications here, if you look at this as a list, it's also possible to look at this first one as more or less a general qualification of which the many of the next 15 help to explain. In other words, what does it mean to not be blameless? Well, we might continue. The husband of one wife. Someone who doesn't meet that qualification would then could be said that they are not blameless. They are blameworthy in this area, their marital life. Or it goes on to say temperate. Well, someone who is intemperate, and we'll look at what that means when we get to it, that person could be said to be one who is not blameless, or sober-minded, or of good behavior, or hospitable, or apt to teach, not given to wine. A person who has a problem with alcohol could not be said to be blameless. So you understand what I'm saying, that blameless could be a general term of which many, if not most, and possibly even all, but probably not all, but many of the following characteristics on the list help us to understand what blameless means. It could be understood that way. Now we come to that second qualification, which says the husband of one wife. And that one is very controversial. Blameless isn't very controversial because it's not specific enough to know for certain what it means. And I'm sure many times that term, that the bishop must be blameless, has been misused. That's been understood as if he has to be virtually perfect, virtually sinless, virtually perfect in every regard, which of course is not what it means. It couldn't be what it means. But that one perhaps has been misused, but probably not frequently. Occasionally, yes, but not frequently. But boy, it's not very controversial, but this one is exceedingly controversial. What does this mean? A pastor must be the husband of one wife. Or it can mean a man of one woman, more literally. A one-woman kind of man might be a literal translation. A man of one woman, the husband of one wife. Well, there are a lot of things that people have tried to make this mean that it obviously does not mean. For example, this does not mean that for a man to be a pastor, he has got to be married. It does not require marriage, although marriage is going to be the norm for most people, and that would be generally the case. But what this is saying is, if he's married, he's got to be the husband of one wife, and we'll talk more about what that means in a moment. but it's not requiring marriage any more than the requirement later on about his children. One having his children in submission cannot mean that he's required to have children. But if he has children, they're going to have to be this kind of children. And if he is married, it's going to have to be this kind of marriage. That's the way we must understand this. You say, well, why is that? Well, for a couple of reasons, but the most obvious one is that if you don't understand it that way, then you would have to say that the Apostle Paul could not qualify to be a pastor. And I reject that implication. I reject that understanding. Some would say, well, that's true. Paul could never have been a pastor because he obviously wasn't married. And the pastoral office requires that a man be married. No, that's not what it's saying. And again, just thinking these things through, I think, makes it very clear. Because consistency, as I've already pointed out, would say, then he has to have children. How many? And so forth. I mean, you know, you're taking these things too far. You're misunderstanding what is said. But most men are going to be married. That's the norm. And marriage is desirable in most cases. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that if a man, or a woman for that matter, when there it's dealing in more general terms and not dealing strictly with the office of pastor, but it tells us that if a person is single, there's nothing wrong with that. And that some people are gifted for singleness, and that when a person is gifted for singleness, that's good because it gives them more undivided opportunity to serve the kingdom of Christ. When a man is married, a certain amount of his time and attention is going to have to be devoted to his wife. If he's married, he can't neglect his wife. Some men have tried that. One of the problems with the life of John Wesley, who was a godly man, and I'm not trying to put him down. He was a godly man and greatly used of God. I do have some problems with his theology, but I don't really have many problems with his life, his zeal, his love for the Lord. So many things about him are highly commendable, and I want to say that. But one thing that was not commendable, in fact, was really scandalous as far as I'm concerned, was the way Wesley treated his wife. And he didn't get married till rather late in life. I don't remember now how old he was, but he'd been a bachelor for a good many years. And most of his ministry was itinerant. Wesley was a traveling itinerant preacher and church planter and organizer of churches, and he'd travel from place to place, and he preached, gathered people in villages and public squares and fields, all kinds of places, and preached and was an evangelist, and many people found Christ as a result of his preaching. He organized converts into societies, I think he called them, and organized those societies and appointed leaders in those societies, and then he would travel around and visit these societies to check up on them, make sure they were functioning properly, make sure that the leaders were carrying out their responsibilities properly and so forth. And he was doing this. He racked up an incredible number, thousands and thousands, multiplied thousands of miles on horseback. It's really just staggering when you find out how much she traveled. And he married late in life and married a widow, as I recall. And when he got married, basically, he just deposited his wife in his home and said, goodbye, I'll see you in a few weeks. And away he went. He didn't change anything in his previous pattern. He continued to minister as if he were single, thinking, I'm sure, very sincerely, that to do any less would be to dishonor the Lord. He couldn't cut down on his labors, his travels, his work for Christ just because he was married. Why, that shouldn't make any difference. His wife should understand, and she didn't. And frankly, very few women would have been able to have lived happily in that situation. When you marry a wife, you've got to commune with your wife. You've got to include your wife. You've got to build a marriage. You've got to build a marriage relationship. You've got to build a strong friendship with your wife. That's required. Remember how in the Old Testament, if a man married a wife, he was excused from a lot of responsibilities for the first year of marriage, so that he would not be hindered from building that kind of a relationship with his wife. For example, you could not press a man into military service until he had been married at least for a year. God takes marriage responsibility seriously, and God obviously understands that that first year of marriage is critical. You've got to spend a lot of time together if you're going to have a good, lasting, enduring marriage. You've got to. The point being, if a man is married, he is going to have to give attention to his wife. And so if a man is single, he can devote more time to the Lord's work, and that can be an advantage. Now, it's not required that a pastor, a bishop, an overseer, be a married man. He may be a single man, but if he's a single man, he's got to be a celibate man. If he's a single man, he's got to be morally pure. That much is obvious. If he doesn't have that gift of celibacy, of singleness, and contentedness within that relationship, then he needs to get married. Back to 1 Corinthians 7. We don't have time to go back to that now. But marriage requires a good bit of our time. And then, of course, when children come along, that even requires more of our time. And so married men are going to have the time to devote to their home and marriage, and that's going to have to be part of their schedule. And the church is going to have to understand that. And in most cases, pastors are going to be married men. And so they've got to have time to spend with their wives. They've got to have time to spend with their children. You can't expect them to be on duty 24/7. You can't expect them to be on call 24/7. You can't expect them to be actively serving the church and all the needs of others all of the time. They've got to have time for their wife and for their home and for their kids, because a pastor's marriage needs to be an exemplary marriage. A pastor's home needs to be an exemplary home, a model home, one that you can point to and say, that's what a Christian home should look like. That's what a good Christian marriage should look like. And you can't do that without giving it time and attention. That's just impossible. Don't expect the impossible. Don't expect the ridiculous, the ludicrous. This is the way it must be. And so a pastor is going to be, in most cases, the husband of a wife. And the Bible says he must be the husband of one wife. Now, we still haven't gotten around to what does that mean then. We'll have to take that up, Lord willing, on the broadcast tomorrow. I trust you'll join me then. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon Broadcast. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Our email address is beaconbaptist@beaconbaptist.com. Good day. May God give you His eternal peace.